And now we'll reconvene for the second time, the special meeting of the San Juan County PhD number one. And first on the agenda is a budget hearing for San Juan County EMS. And I'll turn it over to you, Jerry, and our CPA, Chris Compton.
Commissioners, we're pleased to show you our budget proposal that we have for you for 2019. We've given you two budgets to review. One budget is that keeps us at status quo, so we don't hire any additional EMTs. And the second one is one where we hire two additional EMTs that we have EMTs around the clock. And then per Dr. Appleton's suggestion, he wanted both these to have a severance package in there for myself. So those are what you have in front of you. Going over the numbers real quick. Looking at last year's numbers versus this year's numbers, our revenue has gone up.
Which budget? You're on just the general budget?
I'm just talking general.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know.
The revenue from last year, so going to the end of September, our revenue has gone up 5.53%. which is approximately $76,000. Our expenditures has gone down 7.12%, which is approximately $109,000, giving us a net plus of $185,000. Our call load is stayed about the same, with the island, airlift, Navy, Coast Guard totals being approximately 30% of our total calls. And we're on track the same as we were last year. So we're on track the same this year. So that's doing pretty good. We're also looking at we have received GEMT money, which we went through our arithmetic homework with the state, and our approximately cost per call is $4,026 every time we roll a rig out the door. And so that is our basis is getting paid from the Medicaid providers. If the person that's enrolled in Medicaid is enrolled pre-Obama, we get paid approximately 50% of that $4,000. If they're post-Obama sign-on, then we get approximately 91% of that. So far, for the last 3 months, we're averaging right around So we started getting this money in July. So July, August, and September, we're averaging approximately $20,000 a month extra money coming in from the GEMT. And obviously that will slow down during our slow months, but should pick up again. So the GEMT money is making a big impact on our budget. And we should be finding another payout from the GEMT for the first year of 2017 to 2018. So July 1st, 2017 to June 30th of 2018, we should be receiving some funds at the end of this year for that. So we'll be seeing additional funds coming in there. The ACH, we put in our third part of our homework on that. We have received $28,000 so far this year on that funding for our community paramedicine program, and we should be getting funding, more funding, later on this year for the ACH. And again, both that funding for the ACH and the GEMT, we do not know what that money is, how much that's going to be. So we'll let you know as soon as that comes in. So I think as far as revenue-wise, that we're seeing a 5% bump in taxes as far as our revenue from the county. That is the 1% plus what we're seeing in new construction, which we'll see, which is consistent there in both budgets. And I don't know if I have anything more for you guys to know. So I'm free to, and so is Chris, to answer any questions.
So, Chief, you mentioned that, is it GEMT?
Yes, sir.
That's an order since July or so of this year of enhancement revenue stream coming in. It's $20K a month, is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Approximately.
Is that anywhere reflected in your 2019 draft budget, or impossible to do now, or what?
Well, we've only gotten 3 months
okay.
of revenue on that. And so, in fact, I was talking to our billing company just last week and this week in a meeting with the billing company again tomorrow to look to see how if this is something that we can project. And again, we both agree that 3 months of data is not a lot of data to be looking at. But so far, I think we're looking at $20,000 of approximately per month for July, August, and September.
So, will you have a better handle on that at our next regular board meeting on the 28th of this month?
I don't know. I don't.
And I ask that question because one of the alternative plans to have two additional EMTs to allow your agency to provide 24/7 coverage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important consideration. Right now, as I see it, and we discussed this yesterday, you would have to do that in 2019, tap into your reserves. But it sounds like that tapping in the reserves could be eliminated, or certainly in large part mitigated, by enhanced revenues from CMS.
I'm pretty certain that the monies from the GEMT will cover the expenditures of the two EMTs.
Thank you, sir.
What's the expected duration of the
GEMT?
Yes.
It looks like it's going to be around for a while. This is something that they're looking at enhancing the payment for our Medicaid patients because they haven't done it in years. What they've been paying is for ground transport approximately $115 per transport, and so this is their way of making up for that cost, and not all fire departments, EMS departments have elected to jump into this. So,
another thing to point out, this was a program established by the state legislature. So it's not like it's just a special program born out of bureaucratic processes. It's actually a legislated action. So as long as they continue to put money, establish a budget for that going forward, I would expect that it's going to continue.
So this is a grant. When you said pre and post Obama, what that meant was pre Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
And since the Affordable Care Act, which then this money comes from the feds through a Medicaid expansion program through the legislature, and it's dependent on the feds continuing the monies, is how it works.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's all a function of, we'll know in the next 3 months, but we haven't lame duck Congress what they might do to that money. Because that's been one of the things they wanted to do is repeal the ACA. Mm-hmm. And now that we have a lame duck Congress, I think we have to take that into consideration whether those monies will continue or not. It's a big part of what this last campaign was all about. So I don't know. I'm just letting you know that, you know, that's a consideration we need to look at. I hope it does continue. But those programs may get cut. The black grants.
Well, just as we hope tax revenue continues to go up as well. I mean,
yeah.
That's not a guarantee either.
Right,
like
exactly.
A 5% increase is great, but
yeah.
We've seen it go down, you know, over the last 10 years.
Got it. So whenever you're dealing with governmental entities, it's always,
I guess,
a hope, and then worst case scenario. We certainly went through that one in the early stages of designing and crafting the Piesang Medical Center with a special critical access hospital reimbursement scheme by CMS, and lo and behold, it's still with us, so you just never know. It's a year-to-year deal. Rebecca, any comments, ma'am?
No, not now. Pretty thorough.
And Mark?
Nope.
Annalisa?
I had just another question about, I just was wondering if you could describe with two new EMTs, what would that look like in terms of daily operations, you know, what would their roles be like here?
So we've had the conversations, just started the conversations to say, if we were to do this, would we do this so the we'd have EMTs work, did you work in days and then night shifts, or would they work 24-hour shifts, or if they work days and nights, would they rotate it back and forth? So we're in the process of looking at to see what the employees would want to do in that, and how is the best process for this to work. There is a enough to do here. We've been working, well, since I've been here. Our staff is taxed. There is a whole lot of work that can be done that we are having to do late in the hours, on the weekends, that we are doing, but we're not doing all of that well. That we could be doing better, more efficient, and hiring two more EMTs we'd be able to get that work done, and probably more efficient. The best thing about this is that this would get our rigs out the door faster, and that is something that I think we owe our taxpayers, especially at 2 o'clock in the morning.
So they would be stationed here,
yes,
while on shift?
Yes.
Okay.
What's our response time now?
Our response time now, and these are numbers that was supplied to you for in June of 2018. For us to get the ambulances out in the county, our average is 7 minutes 56 seconds, with our average time for the paramedic, and this is response times, 7 minutes and 9 seconds is the average. And then in the county, you know, it's just a little bit longer for the response times to get out there. So. That's what we're looking at, but we are within the standards.
7.52 city. You said county twice. You meant city?
City first.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You said, I thought,
yeah.
I heard you say county twice. And out there as opposed to over there. What are those times?
So our county response times is for the ambulance. Our average is 12.19. I'm sorry, 12 minutes, 19 seconds.
And how do we figure that number with taking out the standard outliers on the
yes.
far end?
Yes.
With the national standards of how they do it?
What we do is we take out the numbers that are non-response. So if we have to go code yellow, so we go in with no lights and sirens, we don't count those. We don't count the calls that get canceled. So there's a criteria of that we look at. So the calls that we go from here to the scene, that we are going lights and sirens, are the ones that count. So they're emergent calls.
Level ones, so to speak, as opposed to level two calls.
I don't know what a level one
would be. Level one would be the big response as opposed to a basic EMT response.
You mean ALS versus BLS?
Yeah.
No, we also count the BLS calls too. So if they're going lights, sirens, that counts.
Right. Very good. Thank you, Chief. Chris, do you have any further to add, sir?
Nothing too specific. Just that the cap with like always when we're doing the budgeting process, the revenue side is generally fairly fixed. It's, the big portions of our revenue aren't going to change too dramatically. The property taxes can only go up 1%. There's been a lot of new construction this past year, so and it's about the same as what it was the year before, so we've been able to, the property tax valuations and all that have gone out, so we're in a pretty good position to know what the revenue side is going to be for this coming year. As Chief said, one of the big outlier or the big questions are, what the GEMT is going to look like going forward. That a lot of the initial inflow of the income's been through, also a catch-up portion. But we need to have a discussion with the billing company to know what we can reasonably look at for on a going forward basis, what it'll be. In terms of other, the line items in here about the severance was basically the bottom line on that. It's about the net cost will be for a chief transition would probably be about $65,000. And we just factor that. I mean, obviously that would be a 1 year thing. And then the EMTs, when you factor in the total payroll taxes and benefits and all that, obviously it kind of depends on who gets hired because that can have an impact on the benefits that we pay. But it would be about $118,000, I think, was the cost on the, for two EMTs. So. Those are kind of the net, the big impact items of these two scenarios.
So with that in mind, when you look at these numbers a few years from now, I'm just concerned about how that impacts cash reserves.
Oh, yeah.
And it will. So how long do you think cash reserves will last based on the two EMTs and these numbers? With this in place, I mean, I obviously want better service, the best service for our community, but I am worried that we're going to run out of money.
No, I've asked the same questions, and that the same thing goes through my mind because I'm an accountant. That's my job, is to be the nitpicker, bean counter that nobody likes to ask these questions. I've asked that, and It is a serious question. Without having a severance for the chief, the cost would be for this year would be about the based on the budget, which includes some kind of reserve discussion, some contingencies in there, so that it's pretty realistic. We don't expect it, that. It could be higher, it could be lower, but in the past 2 or 3 years that we've been doing this, we've always come in under on expenses and actually a little over on the revenue. But the way this projects out, without paying out for the chief, it would be, it would burn about $22,000. Last year, our original budget for 2018, the forecast was essentially break even. It was like a $6,800 difference. And now, you know, I think we're probably going to come in, we may come in $80,000 ahead. So the question is, I think a big portion of that is, you know, can this GEMT funding cover that? And then, you know, what other sources of revenue can we generate to cover those costs of the two additional employees? And then the other side of that is are there other costs that we're going to see reductions on? So one of the big questions is how much, obviously we expect to see a decrease in the amount of volunteer stipends that we pay because there's going to be two EMTs here full time, two additional ones. How much are we going to save? I mean, I've only baked in on this analysis about $20,000 less than what we budgeted for 2018. But for 2018, we're coming in under what we expected to pay. So it may actually end up, I mean, who knows, it could end up being $40,000 less than what I'm, you know, than what the budget was for 2018. So, and in that case, then you almost fall into a break-even point on this consideration. So, the way I'd look at this is that when you're factoring in for a potential severance or separation portion with the chief, that that's kind of a one-time cost. Almost, I almost consider it on the lines of. Like a capital equipment item, right? That's a once every 5 to 10 thing, as opposed to the, you know, the bringing on the EMTs would be an ongoing consideration. So what would the picture look like in 2020? Well, so that's harder to look project out to because there's unknowns that can happen between now and then in terms of tax revenue and other things. But if we continued on a similar trajectory that we have been, I'd say that it would be, you know, that having those EMTs, and we'd still probably, I would expect that we could still have it's perfectly reasonable to expect that we could have a net increase in cash. Like it wouldn't have a negative cash flow by then. But you put that on the other side. I'm just going to keep putting on both sides here. But you do have two more people where you have COLA increases and benefit cost increases as well. So. You know, those are all things that you have to consider. It's not an easy black and white choice. The counter to my thinking, just in terms of looking at financials and numbers, is, you know, we do have to think about what is the intent. You know, that there are non-cash flow or non-bottom line benefits to this. Like, are we going to have better response times, and what price do you put on that? And that's been the counter argument to me when I ask, you know, when I talk about this with the chief or others.
And also, you know, if it seems to be draining our cash reserves year after year, we can modify it or even, worst case, abandon the program. But if it does prove to be a significant enhancement to response times and services by this agency to our community, I think it's worth pursuing. So,
I think so too. Because if you look at the calls that when we get the true 911 calls, the car accident, the heart attack, the stroke, the seizure, we really have no problem getting the troops out at 2 o'clock in the morning to go on these calls. It's the transport from the hospital to the airport for those calls that the troops are tired, they don't want to get up, they it's for that real quick get up, transport the patient down to the airport and back, are the ones that we're having difficulty filling. And that's about 30% of the calls that were going on. And this person here would be able to take care of that responsibility, that call at night. And then we also have a number of calls that I think it's right around 19% of the calls that we have that either doubles up, that we have two calls going on at once, or when they get back, second call comes up. So that's about 18% of the call. So having two EMTs would really truly help this organization and the people that we serve.
So the response times are within the standards, 8 and 14.
Yes.
And they're 752, 756, just seconds inside the 8-minute mark. How much do you think this would reduce it?
It would reduce it significantly.
A number? You're going to get down to 6 minutes?
We could have that car out the door within 2 minutes if our policy is allowed to have one person to respond on an emergency response by themselves.
And they'd be carrying what with them?
An ambulance.
Pardon?
An ambulance.
AED?
Yes. But a lot of our EMTs carry AEDs in their rigs right
yeah.
now.
So you get it down, my question, you get it down to 6 minutes? Out the door in two isn't gotta get there. You know, to be there. I'm just wondering how we're gonna have to measure a benefit, and we're within the standards now, then what's the benefit? We're within the standards. So the benefit has got to be time. You're the pro. What do you think?
I can't put a number on that. I don't want to be held to a number, but how long can you hold your breath is the big question. And so when we're talking about a patient who's short of breath, how long can they hold their breath? And we can be there faster. This is one area that we can definitely see improvement.
Well,
what that number is, I don't care.
We could try it for a year.
Pardon?
We could try it for a year, get some data, get some hard numbers, and see what the projections look like at that point. Would that be feasible?
We certainly are seeing this with our EMTs during the day responses. That when we have the EMTs here and the call comes up, they're out the door immediately. So we know this works during the day. We know it'll work at night.
Just in the medical side, 6 minutes. Anything past four, you lose 17% of your rescues every minute.
That's correct.
That's the number. So on your rescues, are we only buying 17% of the end of a rescue in a cardiac arrest, or are we buying something else with this? I'm just asking the questions. These are
what we do have is we have the paramedics are able to respond, and they're responding very fast out the door. So getting an ALS unit out the door is working very well. Where what we're looking for is to get a transport unit on scene to get that person who could be a stroke patient,
yeah.
who could be an MI patient, to the appropriate medical care that they need. So that's what we're looking for is that transport unit to get them there.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chris. Rebecca, any parting words, ma'am?
Well, I do have a question. We're talking about the vehicle inventory. We have five. I know what they are now. Might it be possible to cut that vehicle inventory down to four, giving the chief a vehicle, the community paramedicine an extra one for everybody, and then the two medics when they're on sharing them back and forth? Or does that not work?
Right now, we have three Sprint rigs, and one of those Sprint rigs is pretty much assigned to our operations paramedic that is does a lot of the paperwork, who spends a lot of time here and going to meetings. And then the other three paramedics share the other two. And this seems to work very well. And especially when that paramedic is home and we have that second or third call that comes out, that they're able to go on that call with all of their equipment and having their radios, the equipment, and medications there. So what we have for these paramedics works very well for us.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Very good. And again, we're going to revisit this and finalize it at the November 28th meeting.
So I really like the, and I hope you guys, when you're going through the budget, we're going to look at the consideration of the two EMT budgets.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.